My mother lived in Poto. That's where we grew up, Poto. My daddy, at this point in time, has gone to be with the Lord. Mother is very ill. She's in the hospital. This is in 1981. Now then, I've been at the hospital all day, which is a very physical, emotional, spiritual, trying experience, isn't it? But I've left the hospital and now I've gone home, but home to an empty house where my mother used to be, and so that's a trying experience. So my emotions are high, aren't they? Now then, I decide to go for a walk. It's rather late at night, but you can still walk safely in Poto late at night. And so I put on my coat and I go out for a walk. And as I'm walking, I walk by the Nazarene Church. Now, that has a pretty special place in my life because it has steps going up to the door and a banister there. And when I was a little girl, my dad worked in the post office. I'd figure out when he was going to come home, and I'd run down to the Nazarene Church from my house, and I'd hide behind that banister there. And then when Daddy walked down the sidewalk there and around this way, I'd run down the stairs and I'd jump out and scare him, and he'd react approvingly. And then he'd hold my hand and we'd walk home together. That's a real neat thought, isn't it? But you know, I hadn't thought about that in years. But tonight, when I walk by the Nazarene Church there, just glance over that way, a thought comes to me. How I miss Dad. And right on the heels of that one, another one. I remember so well how I used to meet him here. Hey, can I handle that at this point in time? Can I? No, I can't handle that. My emotions are already at a 9. So you see, Satan has taken an incident in my life, in the world system, a circumstance that has come in, and he's trying now to completely devastate me. He is trying to destroy me. He has taken a situation and is trying to get me depressed, out of my tree, despondent, incapable of meeting the situation. Let's look at another one. Here, let's say on a conversation right here. I'm not a coupon clipper. Bill wishes I were a coupon clipper. Bill has given up on me being a coupon clipper. Bill clips coupons. And he puts the coupons on the cabinet for me. But he has grown to that. Now then, time was when he didn't clip coupons, but he would just let me know every so often that he wished I would. Well, this bothered me, you know, but not to the point where I dedicated myself to clipping coupons. One night, let's say, and this is hypothetical, but let's say that we're over at a couple's house, Tom and Joan, and we're playing a game of Uno. And about halfway through the evening, Joan starts talking about doing her grocery shopping that day and how much money she saved with her coupons. And I try to change the subject, Bill will come right back to it. And, oh, where did you go? You know, oh, which coupons did you use? And the more she talked about it, the higher my emotions became. I finally got through the evening, and so we leave and we're walking home. And we're barely out the door when Bill said to me, hypothetical now, says to me very gently, you know, honey, I'm really impressed with the way Joan does her grocery shopping. Now then, if I were an ulcer giver instead of an ulcer getter, I would think of something real cute to say, hateful, sarcastic. I had to really work at coming up with something. Some of you gals have 10 things already that you could spit out just like this. But for me, it would be something like this. You know, if I could think of things like this, it would be something like, well, sorry you aren't married to Joan, dear. I'll see what I can do about that. You know, and cut him down some way. But hey, that's foreign to me. That's not the thought that's going to come to me, is it? He says that, and I don't say anything, but thoughts begin to come to me. And you know what they are. They're thoughts like this. If I would clip coupons, Bill would be pleased with me. I really should do that. That displeases Bill. And depending on how long it takes us to get from Tom and Joan's house to our house, other thoughts will come to me. There are a lot of areas that I don't please Bill in. If I were just different, Bill would be much happier. And if I continue to think along those lines, what's going to happen to me? Well, I'm going to get depressed. And I'm going to go to the bedroom, and I'm going to cry. And I'm going to hate myself because I don't please Bill. Do you understand that? Am I communicating to you there? Now then, let me give you one, an inanimate object here. And people will come up and say to me, Annabelle, that's really far-fetched. But you just listen now, okay? It's September 1981. This is a real-life incident. September 1981. It's September the 21st, 1981. And Bill and I are at the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're doing a seminar. Now then, I'm sitting on the front row right down here. And my emotions are high. You see, I get very nervous speaking in front of people. Two or three. This looked like the Astrodome to me. And so I was really nervous. My emotions were very high. In May of 1981, my mother had a severe stroke. In June of 1981, the Lord took Mother home. So you see, the wound is still very fresh there. It's just September. Betty and I went through Mother's things and picked out certain things that we would like to have. I picked out this wide gold bracelet right here. That used to be Mother's. Not that it's expensive, but she liked it, and so it was very precious to me. And I had it on that night as I was sitting right there on the pew. September the 21st. Now, as I was sitting there, emotions already high, a thought came to me. And this was the thought. This is September the 21st. This is Mother's birthday. And this beautiful gold bracelet could be like Mother's birthday present to me. Well, that's a neat thought, isn't it? A real sweet thought. But what was that thought designed to do? Completely devastate me. Do you see that? That thought was given to me with the intent of making my emotions go even higher so that when I got up here, I'd space out and couldn't remember a single thing I was supposed to say. That thought could have come to me at 7 o'clock that morning when I was sitting out under the tree reading my Bible, and I could have cried a little bit and remembered Mother, and it would have been a real nice time, wouldn't it? Why didn't it come to me then? I tell you why, because Satan is like a roaring lion, right? And what do lions do? They stalk. And they'll just stalk and stalk and stalk until their prey has its head down in the water, very unsuspecting, and then they leap, right? And Satan had just waited until the proper time to give me that thought. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. He is just that wicked, he is just that evil, and he is just that intent on controlling, on devastating, on ruining your life, on keeping you and me from walking in victory. Now, it can be a prevailing circumstance, like your marriage. Women will say to me, the nicest thing that happens to me every day, Annabelle, is when my husband kisses me goodbye in the morning. And the worst thing is when he comes home at night, where your marriage is just bad. It's just bad. A prevailing stimulation, a prevailing circumstance that you just live in all the time. It can be your working conditions, where you work with obnoxious people, unsaved people. That's the circumstance. And Satan is going to work through that to destroy you. That's his intent, to destroy. Or it can be physical conditions where you just hurt a lot. Okay, that's the first step, circumstances. The next step is the temptation. And you say, well, why does this particular stimulus cause me problems? Well, it's because of patterns that are unique to you that have been established over the years. You see, that's the way Jesus was tempted. Let me ask you, have you ever been tempted to turn rocks to bread? That was Jesus' temptation, wasn't it? You see, it's peculiar to what you are capable of doing. Patterns that you've established over the years are needs, lack of getting them met. A woman whose husband is not meeting her need for tender, loving care, who isn't listening to her, has an accelerated need for a male who will just sit down and say to her, talk to me. I understand. I'll listen.